Our New Testament lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. It can be found on page 96 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Before we enter this story, Jesus had been in Galilee, and he had healed the son of a royal official. And now for the second story of healing, he's going to Jerusalem for a festival that is not named. Hear now God's word to you this morning. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please pray with me? Triune God, by your Spirit, fill us now with your wisdom and truth. Through your living word, teach us to love and serve, and by your mighty power, transform us into the people you would have us be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So after a mere 2 weeks with you, I am settling in, as is Christy, yet still very much in transition as I try to learn your names and get to know you and the ministry that we share together now. I made the mistake one time of mentioning to God that I enjoyed transitions. And perhaps in the spirit of be careful what you wish for, I have recently found myself, along with my family, completely saturated in transitions. Even the dog is trying to figure out what is going on in all the confusion. Carloads upon carloads of boxes in the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks have been packed, unloaded, repacked, loaded, time after time, as we've retrieved one daughter from college to home, another daughter from college to home, then said daughter to Washington for an internship, and finally those worn and weary boxes were filled and emptied and loaded and unloaded again as I moved myself into the church here at First Presbyterian Lake Forest. One significant transition after another, and sure to be more to come. Those piles of boxes that are now standing by for their next mission have become symbols of exciting transitions for our family. And transitions can be very special times. Certainly times of change and stress, and yes, of sweat and sore backs too. But they are also times of excitement, of creativity, and of possibility. Scripture is filled with transitions, that of a whole people, as in the Exodus and the Babylonian exile. There are transitions of leaders, from prophets to kings, from strong leaders to weak, from benevolence to corruption. And many, many transitions in the lives of individuals. We think of Abraham and Sarah having children in their elderly years. of Moses, who at once describes himself as slow of speech and slow of tongue, and in the next moment he is courageously leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Not to mention the multiple conversions of the disciples and all the early followers along the way. The stories of transition in the Bible go on, and it seems we can safely conclude that our God is a God of transition. And really, that makes sense, because God is always at the work, restoring and reconciling. God of transition. So it shouldn't surprise us that churches go through transitions all the time. Pastors come and go, members are welcomed and sent, programs change, leaders change, even the wall color changes, which could be the most disruptive transition in the church. And right now, the entire church of the 21st century is experiencing significant transition. We're not our grandparents' church anymore. As John Buchanan referenced last week, we're experiencing the 500-year rummage sale, which is a reference to Phyllis Tickle, who's an authority on church and a historian, her observation that the church every 500 years seems to go through a major upheaval, tossing much of the old as God makes us into something new. And the broader church is certainly going through that today. Transitions between pastors, like what we're going through, have drawn particular attention over the last decade because we've recognized that these times provide unique opportunities to equip congregations for the changing 21st century church. It's a chance to develop our adaptability and flexibility. I combine those two words, which might make a new word. A chance to experiment and try new things. And it's a time when we tend to lean on God in ways that wouldn't happen when we're in our comfort zones. So instead of viewing interim times as the church in a holding pattern until the next pastor arrives, we now view this as a unique opportunity for growth and change and energy. It's a time pregnant with promise. But not every church successfully navigates this promising time. And we've learned from those churches too. We've learned that the success of congregations going through these kinds of transitions is generally dependent on three conditions. First, the congregation's willingness to heal. Second, the congregation's commitment to spiritual growth. And third, the degree to which the congregation engages new energy and enthusiasm around its purpose. We'll be talking about all three of these over the next several months, but today I want to focus on the first, the willingness to heal. That this is on the list at all reminds us that we are not alone, that all churches in transition have some need for healing. We're a body of human relationships, after all. And it's natural for some to cause hurt and to wind up with some wounds along the way. It is expected and right that we would grieve the loss of beloved staff or pastors. So healing is an appropriate place to start for churches in transition. Discipleship is difficult enough for us when we're in good health. And our healing as the body of Christ is a necessary step for us to fully engage in our core purpose in the world. So we must ask ourselves, how willing are we to heal? And this is the question asked in today's gospel lesson. The scene opens with a man lying ill near a healing pool. And it was thought in these ancient times that these pools had healing powers. that angels would come and stir the waters, and then the first person who stepped in the whirling waters would be healed. But this man didn't make it into the pool. He tells Jesus he had no one to put him there, or when he made his way there, someone would get in before him. He had been so close to healing, but not quite there. And this was the case for 38 years, which in that day was a lifetime, until Jesus sees him. Amidst all the people lying in the porticos, and the text tells us there were many, Jesus sees him and says, "Do you want to be made well?" Do you want to be made well? That seems like a very unnecessary question. Like asking you on a day like today, do you want ice cream? Really, Jesus? Of course he wants to be made well. But if we know anything about Jesus in the Bible, we know that he doesn't ask unnecessary questions. He's asking for a reason. And we can guess that he wants this man to think about it. Do you want to be made well? In other words, are you willing to do what is necessary? Are you willing to let go of that which is keeping you from being well? Now, for any of us who have been in some form of rehabilitation, this question is not unusual. In fact, we know that it's a pivotal question. Orthopedists, therapists, coaches, and trainers are quick to tell you that your healing is ultimately dependent on your willingness to do what is necessary. Part patience, part work. Rehabilitation, whether physical or emotional, whether due to trauma or injury or overuse, rehabilitation as a path to healing is work, and it takes time. And it often involves giving up old ways of being or doing. The unnamed man in our gospel lesson has been in this state a long time, and it's going to take a lot of effort to get up and walk. His muscles won't be ready, and his strength will be limited. And in addition, getting up off his mat is going to be scary. He'll be stepping into the unknown, new relationships, new routines, new demands on him. Healing can mean stepping out of our comfort zones. Have you noticed that sometimes the uncomfortable feels better than the unknown? Even if it means that the unknown will bring healing. We stay in jobs that deplete us because we've gotten comfortable. We stay in relationships that aren't good for us because they're familiar. And even dysfunctional families find comfort in their dysfunction because it's familiar and certain. So when Jesus asks this man who has been lying there for many years, "Do you want to be made well?" he's asking him, and I think he's asking us, are you willing to be uncomfortable for a bit? Uncomfortable while your body heals, uncomfortable while you step into this unknown path before you, uncomfortable as you let go of that which is familiar. You know, no one heals at the same pace or in the same way, but for all of us, healing takes patience. And it will take stepping out of our comfort zones, and for us, engaging even in the chaos and confusion of change while our wounds heal over time. Are we willing? There's something more that strikes me about this story of healing, an important lesson for us. This man and all the others who are ill around him are all lying there waiting for what they believe will heal them. In this case, that they would be the first in these waters of restoration. They're waiting with their hope in this answer to their prayer, We like having answers. We like to think we know the answers. Our culture rewards expertise, self-sufficiency, quick action, and quick response. And we get frustrated when things don't go our way, when we don't have the answer right away, or when our answer turns out to be wrong or rejected. In this lesson, the whole community believed that they had the answer in this healing pool. So much so that masses of people invested their lives in waiting beside those waters. But that wasn't the answer. Instead, Jesus was standing right there with them with a different source of healing. The answer to our own healing may not be the answer we have in mind. It may not be the particular person or vision or program we've been waiting for. Our healing may not come in the time frame we'd like or in a way that fits our agenda. God often surprises. In this story, Jesus healed on the Sabbath at a time that would have been forbidden. Jesus acts in ways outside of our expectations. His healing doesn't always follow the popular or the predictable path. Our own first step in healing and transition will be guided by the Bridge Builder Report and recommendations. As session begins the process of pouring through the focus group findings, as you are later invited to participate in the development of future plans, we may be all taken to places beyond our expectation, places of great possibility. The answers may be different from what we think they should be. They may be outside our comfort zones, but if we don't go in with open minds, we may find ourselves stuck on our mats, steps away from the healing Christ offers us. Healing in Christ requires us in all our woundedness to acknowledge that we don't have all the answers, that we need God's help to get up off our mats. Which brings me to the last and most important component for the successful transition of a church, and that is grace. One thing that is very clear in the story of healing is that it is pure grace that healed this man. Do you notice that he never expressed any faith in Jesus' power to heal him? He seemed to not even imagine that he could be well without the help of that pool. And after his healing, he didn't even express gratitude. But out of pure, unconditional love, Jesus sees him and knows him, knows his need and heals him, just as he sees and knows and will heal us. So, my friends, by God's grace, we are being made well. It will take time. It will happen differently for each of us, at different paces and in different places, but in Christ we all have the promise of healing and wholeness, the promise of renewed strength, so that in the words of the prophet Isaiah, we shall run and not be weary. So trusting in God's healing presence, let's be gentle with one another. And let's take up our mats and see where God takes us. May it be so. Amen.